That was Hard Times Hit Parade from the album Bare Knuckles and Brawn by Blue Moon Marquee, a gypsy blues and jazz duo who are favorites on the jazz festival circuit and have been featured on Holger Peterson's Blues Hour on CBC. I spoke with vocalist, bassist, and drummer Jazz Colette over Skype. Jazz, thank you so much for joining me for Indie Beat.
Hey, no problem. Thank you so much.
Tell me a little bit about your early musical history. Did you grow up in a really musical family?
I did. Both my parents were singers. I grew up going to church, so that's when I first started singing, and that's kind of the only good thing I took from church that I'm grateful for. But I played piano when I was young, and my dad played trombone in a jazz band for fun, and yeah, I was pretty enamored with my parents' vinyl record collection. Since I was just a baby. So yeah, there is always music around.
Do you remember what the first record was that you ever went out and bought for yourself?
That I ever went out and bought for myself? I remember the first tape that I requested my dad help me get. I was 4 years old, and it was Ray Charles.
Wow. You had good taste very early on.
I was pretty obsessed with Ray Charles when I was really young, because my father, I was playing piano when I was young, and my father was playing something of his, and I remember he told me, he said, "Jasmine, this man is blind," and I just couldn't. It just rocked my little world, and I couldn't believe it. And so I kind of have taken that approach in practicing and playing any instrument, is I'll close my eyes and I'll turn off all the lights so I'm in the pitch dark, and I play like that, so it's all feel and ear. And it really taught me a lot.
That is really interesting. And all the musicians I've talked to, I've never heard anyone say that before. That's really cool.
Oh, really?
How did you come together with A.W. Cardinal to form Blue Moon Marquee?
Yeah, that's kind of a good story. So we knew each other back, and we're both from Alberta, and we both played in punk and metal rock and roll bands in our youth, when we were teenagers, and we knew of each other then. We had a lot of mutual friends, but we weren't really pals or anything, and then we didn't see each other for many, many years. And Al had been living out in New York City and Montreal, and I was living in Vancouver at the time. And we had a mutual friend that just graduated from Nimbus Recording School in Vancouver. And Al had been in touch with him, and he wanted to come out west to record a new album of his solo original stuff he'd been working on. And our mutual friend said, "Hey, Al wants you to... Do you remember A.W.? Remember him?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I remember him. He wants you to play bass and sing on his new album. He's coming out." I thought, "Oh, great." And, so I just walked into the studio the first day, and it was apparent right there that we were going to be playing music for a long time together.
How do the two of you approach your songwriting together? Is it a collaborative process, or does one of you tend to come up with something almost fully and bring it to the other?
It's never the same. We don't have a set formula. It's a little bit of that. It's a little bit of a full collaboration. Sometimes one of us will just have a melody or a rhythm that we're interested in, or a lyric, and we'll patch it together that way. And then sometimes a song will be like almost fully completed, and one of us will bring it to another, and then we'll tweak it a bit. But yeah, it's never the same.
You released your first full-length album together in 2013, and your most recent one, Bare Knuckles and Brawn, last year. How do you feel your sounds evolved with your newer music?
Yeah, well, we tour and play a lot as a duo. But we always have, as much as we can, we have guest soloists come and play with us, and guest players. And we really love that. I mean, there's a special magic to a duo act, but sonically it's limiting, you know, and you especially for the style of music that we're playing, you just want the song to breathe more and give it a new life. And so our last album, I feel like that idea was fully realized, in that we had a lot of our favorite players join us for the recording. And yeah, that was it was very inspirational, and it was really exciting for us.
A few weeks ago, you released an amazing video for your song, Big Black Mamba. Tell me about the song and the making of the film.
Sure, yeah. The song was written, it was inspired by part of Black Elk Speaks, and it's a Lakota prophecy, a Lakota legend, if you will, of a big black snake that will come through the ground and poison the water. And AW is First Nations, and I have a lot of First Nations in my family as well. So these stories and these issues have been really close to our heart. And a lot of the pipeline issues, especially going on in BC, but all over the place, and the issue of clean drinking water, it's not even First Nations rights, it's human rights, really. But the song was inspired by this ongoing issue of First Nations repression and just lack of concern for their well-being. And so, we wanted to make a video kind of in the style, in an older style, kind of in the old silent film era style, and it was made by Keith Pico, who's an incredible filmmaker, as well as musician, plays with Cousin Harley nowadays. And we wanted the story to be in that style, kind of that vintage style, but it's still a very modern, current story. Yeah. So we filmed it on Salt Spring Island. And, we filmed it over 3 days or so, 3 or 4 days, I believe, and worked really hard on it. And, yeah, it took a little while to get it done, as most things do, but we're really happy with it.
She moved.